No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed. We are your crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information here on Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Also on board, Captain Dennis, and from AOPA, Mr. Tom Haynes. It's a full crew. Ed, are you happy now?
Yes, I'm happy.
I'm
happy to be here.
Well, no, Ed made a special request.
Yeah, I did. I said I wanted Tom to be on this week because I haven't been on the air with Tom in like months.
Right. I'm sick of talking to you every time I come in
well,
here.
That's really what it was.
Right. I mean, let's just be honest. That's
not
fine.
Sick of you, Dennis, just Greg.
I didn't take it personally.
Okay, thanks.
Variety is the spice of life. So, Tom is going to be the mixer in today's crew, so to speak, at least for a couple segments.
Cool.
But we are based in Orlando. Tom, you're up in Wichita. Where are you at? Where?
No, I'm at home in Frederick, Maryland.
Oh, Frederick, Maryland.
Yeah,
that's right.
Washington, D.C. area.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay. But we don't want to be there or where Dennis is right now.
No.
Let alone a couple days ago. I mean, this latest cold front we watch on the news from Florida, we're like, gosh, it's in the 50s here. I can't take it anymore. And then
we're feeling real bad for you.
Exactly.
I'm in the negative 50s. So,
And that's something we saw on Facebook the other day. One of our local weather guys said it'll feel like 100 degrees colder in Minneapolis than Orlando.
Right. So basically, what we're trying to say to Tom and Dennis is glad we're not you. But I guess we feel your pain a little bit. Not really, but we feel for your pain.
Yes, feel for them.
But how does this apply to flying? Because, you know, I see these stories, and Captain Clay, I was hanging with him earlier in the week, and he was flying back from Florida back over to Wyoming, and he was going to do some, obviously, flying through some of this nonsense, and, you know, he got around it, no problem. But I was thinking, gosh, you know, whether you're in Florida or not, if you're planning to do any kind of cross countries, you got to deal with this kind of stuff, and dealing with that extreme cold has to take is a big factor on your flying, is it not, Ed?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah?
That's why I moved to Florida.
Good point.
I can fly year-round and not have to worry about. Well, okay, true. Occasionally, I might have a little frost on my airplane. No big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's from the ice packs that you had to take out of the freezer to put in the seat back during summer.
No, February, at least one or two days in February, we'll get some frost on the airplane. So, and like I say, I have nothing to complain about. That's all I have to deal with.
Right. So. Well, is this a question you get quite a bit there at AOPA headquarters there, Tom? I would assume so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A lot of questions around cold weather ops and that sort of thing. I mean, what we've been experiencing is temperatures in the 20s and 30s, which, you know, isn't bad at all. Just when anything time you get below, you know, 30 or 32, most people recommend preheating the engine. I've got an electric preheater in mine. Just plug it in, and it within a few hours, you can engine's nice and warm and good to go. Or you can get a portable preheat where the FBO comes over and with a propane tank heater and kind of fires it up and stuffs it in the engine inlets and warms it up. But that's a whole different experience than what Dennis and company are experiencing when it gets to be as cold as what they've got up there. Although I'm told, and Dennis, maybe you know, University of North Dakota, they continue flight training operations to like minus 20 or so, I'm told.
And there's nothing wrong with it. The airplanes actually perform better in the extreme cold. I mean, the air is denser.
What?
They produce more power. The lift is a little bit better.
So hold on. Let's back up. Are you telling me that your plane will operate better when it's 30 below zero? That
it will make more power.
And this is why Greg has not finished his private, because he doesn't understand. Yes.
No, I know the answer to this, but I'm just saying everyone listening might not, and I want to make sure.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Now, you do have an air-cooled engine, so, system, and just talking from the Cessna end of it, there's a winterization kit, which restricts some of that airflow through the engine, so the engine will not get as cold when you're descending or flying through the air.
And yeah, it also blocks the oil cooler to make sure that the oil is stays at a temperature that's hot enough to drive the water or the moisture out of the oil from the combustion.
Yep.
Yeah. The biggest problem isn't with the airplane, to be honest. The biggest problem is with the pilots. Our fingers don't work well, you know, and if you have something go wrong and you have to land, you know, off airport, or even if you're going somewhere and the FBO is not open because it's too cold, how do you, you know, you've got to stay warm.
Yeah. You know, Tom mentioned University of North Dakota. Years ago, I got a copy of their standardization manual, and they had a statement in there, you know, dual flights will go to, will fly down to minus 20, but any flights above or below 32 degrees Fahrenheit, each pilot in the airplane had to have special gear, you know, i.e. hats, gloves, proper jacket, you know, insulated boots, etc., you know, a little survival pack, basically, that way if they did have to make an off-airport landing, they could survive till help could get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, in the working airplanes in Alaska, they drain the oil and take the batteries out and take it inside with them. And, you know, rumor is sleep with the oil to keep the oil warm. Otherwise, you'll never get them started. If they're sitting outside with no heat, forget it, trying to start those things when it gets to be that cold.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, at least we don't got to do it an extended period of time like they do in Alaska. I mean, it's great for a TV show. Or was back in the day, that Flying Wild Alaska show.
Right.
Or ice pilots, too, with the guys up at Buffalo Airways with their old warbirds. That was pretty interesting what they had to put up with.
Yeah.
So do you have a cold weather kit that you fly with in your Mooney there, Dennis, or what?
Actually, there isn't one for the Mooney. What I found is it actually stays pretty warm. The cylinder temperatures stay up and doesn't really need the plates on the front like you have on the Skyhawk. And I tried last winter with, putting some aluminum tape across half of the oil cooler, and I saw really no change in temperature. So the airplane seems to be pretty well cowled that it handles it. It's really the problem is the operator.
Well, I wasn't really talking about the airplane. I was talking about you. Do you have like a winter kit, like a, you know, hat, gloves, coat kind of thing?
We keep, blankets, a sleeping bag. I've got a couple blankets that we put over the airplane that I throw in to the cockpit with us as well to keep warm.
Mm. It's no different. You know, I grew up in the Illinois, and my dad made sure in the wintertime we had, if we were driving somewhere in the trunk of the car, we had blankets, we had some snack food, a can with a candle in it to keep yourselves warm and things like that.
Yeah. We never did that when I was growing up.
'Cause you were in the city. We're country.
Yeah, well, I guess. But still, I mean,
we had to go a ways to find the next house might be a couple, 3 miles away.
Right. I don't think it was that we were in the city. I just think my parents didn't care.
Well, so maybe about you.
That's
maybe,
a whole other issue.
The rest of your family, right. They put them in their cars.
Right.
We'll make more.
Yeah. But other than, putting your airplane on a trickle charge and watching the oil and stuff like that, you're really nothing extra you got to do for your airplane. Okay.
No, and if you think about it, if you were flying, say, a turbocharged airplane up at, 15, 20,000 feet, the temperature's already minus 25 all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, the airplanes are designed to handle it. It's just as the pilots, we're not.
Yeah. That is one of the pretty amazing things about particularly turbine airplanes. When you're in the flight levels in a jet and you look at the outside temperature, frequently it's minus 55 degrees and minus 50 degrees and all that sort of thing. And so then you come plummeting down to earth, and usually in less than 30 minutes or so from the time you start your descent, you know, you could be landing in Miami where it's, 90 or 100 degrees and humidity somewhere in that neighborhood. And think of the transition that aircraft has just gone through, the fuel, the metal, and all that. It's pretty amazing what it is that they tolerate and do it day in and day out, not from an airliner standpoint,
Well, I'm still going to avoid flying in 30 below temperatures. That's just me.
You do a good job of just avoiding flying.
Well, I have done that. But see, you should use this as another excuse to fly south while you happen to deal with that stuff up there. And we are, making some plans. What about you, Tom? Do you got any plans to fly down out of that mess?
Absolutely, since you ask. Actually, tomorrow I'm headed to... to Tulum, Mexico, down on the Riviera Maya on the Yucatan, and kind of hang out on the beach. Now, unfortunately, I'm doing it on an airliner as opposed to in the Bonanza, but definitely going down for some R&R. But I will be down your way in February, at the end of February, in the Bonanza. So,
okay.
Lock your doors and that sort of thing.
Well, maybe. Or are you coming down to do some training with Ed? Or are you just coming down to
actually,
play?
That's an interesting idea.
There you go.
It just looks like he's coming. I think.
What are you coming down for? Is anything going on? Or
I've got a meeting down down near Naples and a couple of stops, editorial stops I'm making down that way. So.
Yes, it's ironic how business comes into play to get people out of the north.
Oh, the only time I see anybody from Cessna is in February.
Of course.
Get out of Wichita.
It's all business.
Yeah, there you go.
Trust me. All right, we got more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
They might tell you you're on a non-stop flight. Well, I don't think I care for that. No, I insist that my flight stop. Preferably at an airport. It's those sudden, unscheduled cornfield and housing development stops that seem to interrupt the flow of my day.
So fly with me. Yeah, fly with me. 30,000 in the skies, where you trying to be? I can take you to a place that is so exclusive. It's a view that only me, you, and the pilot see. As the clouds surround us and drown out all the troubles and sounds, touch down in the town. Open your eyes, be astounded by the sights all around. They are incredible. Itinerary printed out, baby. I'm way ahead of you.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed, Dennis, and from AOPA, we also have Mr. Tom Haynes for our next few minutes. So AOPA, as we were discussing last week, announced their scholarships for 2019. I have not got my scholarship application in for that or paid off the appropriate people at AOPA. However, I did submit my sweepstakes entry for being an AOPA member for the Cub giveaway. So who do I got to pay off to win that one, Tom? Do you have any suggestions?
Some sweepstakes management company in New York City.
Yes, exactly. No, it's pretty legit.
The outside accounting firm, as they say on TV.
Right. Yeah. Right. But that's a pretty big giveaway thing. You got the Super Cub, which obviously is, well, that's Ed's dream plane.
Yes.
And all I care about is a plane, period. So I'll take whatever I can get. But yeah, there's like seven runner-up prizes, too. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that you can get. And basically, if you're an AOPA member and you paid your dues or something, you get a shot at it or something like that. Is that how it works?
Yeah, you're automatically entered if you're a current member as of May 31st of this year, which is when the sweepstakes end. However, there are other opportunities to get multiple entries by having automatic annual renewal and some other things that are all on the website. But, Ed, stand by because the airplane is getting floats on it right now.
Ooh, sweet.
So we're going to give the airplane away with Tundra tires, with skis. So, Dennis, that's your chance.
I'm ready for it.
And then for you folks who don't have hard water down in Florida, there are amphibious floats, and it's being put on floats this right now. So next week, we have a photographer headed down there, and we're going to do some air-to-air photography in Florida where it's being done.
Is it done? So, Whipline doing it up in Leesburg?
Yeah, Whip Air at Leesburg has done it.
Yep.
Wow. And so, look out your window there, Ed. You may see it flying by.
I'm over Leesburg twice this week. I didn't see it. I think I'll be there tomorrow. I'll maybe stop in.
Well, that'd give us a reason to go and take a look at it. We could take it for a spin or two to make sure it's airworthy.
Good luck with that.
No, it won't work.
Maybe if you could get him in the airplane, it would provide him some incentive and motivation to get out to the airport.
Even Ed would probably tolerate that because it would be a Super Cub.
I would tolerate that.
That is your dream.
I would put
airplane.
You in another airplane today if that actually motivated you. But that's a whole other segment. That's a whole other segment.
Oh, okay. We'll save that for later.
It's a whole other segment. Well, and airplane.
But the bottom line is I got the mailer this week to enter. So I don't know. This was probably my second or third entry now. Because I'm trying to stuff the ballot. No, I'm on the automatic renewal thing, so I got that entry. But this was like the mailer, and then you got seven choices of runner up prizes, from headsets, from Bose to bomber jackets to God knows what else. So surely, with all these prizes, I'm bound to win something.
I think you will. I feel confident.
Tom's making a note. Like, okay, make sure we.
Lowest level prize. Exactly. Oh, a keychain. Yeah.
Names to suppress from the list.
Yes. Anyway, there's that. And then, of course, the AOPA Scholarship Fund, which is like $500,000 in funds that were put out there last week or announced for people to get these scholarships and towards their flight training. Right, Tom?
Yeah, actually, it's $1 million.
Million. Oh, my gosh.
$1 million.
I undersold tad.
We've got given away 80 scholarships of $10,000 each for high school students. So, Greg, that's age 15 to 18. So, you were talking about trying to get your entry in. You may need to get a fake ID on that one.
Oh, I can pull that off.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we've got 20 for teachers, trying to get teachers engaged in aviation so that particularly those who are working on our aviation high school program can really get kids excited about the opportunities in aviation and be able to speak about what it is that they teach about.
Right.
So very cool.
All pretty exciting. That's all from the James Ray Foundation. They've been very generous with us and giving us lots of opportunities to help get kids into aviation.
Excellent. Well, I know Dennis has a couple kids. They're working on that and have done it. Is there an old farts category that I can apply to or no? I thought there was. No?
We do have some other scholarships throughout the year that are not specifically for high school students. So, yes, and we do refer to that as the Old Farts Scholarship Program.
Okay, good.
If you search on our site for that, I'm sure it'll come up.
That'll be easier than trying to get a, fake ID. Yeah. But, it's a great program. We kid, but it is pretty amazing how much money is out there, and it can do a lot of help to help facilitate getting more people into aviation and get them on a pretty cool career path.
Lots of opportunities right now, and April 2nd is the deadline, so make sure you get your applications in by then. But now is a great time to be getting into aviation. There's lots of job opportunities. My guess is Ed's having trouble keeping flight instructors just like everybody else because they're all getting sucked up by the airlines.
Well, true. He can't even come do the show every week. Like every other week or two because you guys are so busy at flight training professionals, right?
I could have a lot more business if I had more flight instructors. Airplanes are still a challenge like they were earlier in the year or later last year. It's one of the things that I'm not the only one in that boat. There are so many people wanting to learn how to fly. because of what's going on in the industry, and flat out the flight training business does not have the capacity to meet the demand, and it's not even close. And yeah. that's something that the airlines are going to have a problem filling their seats because we can't get people that want to train trained.
Yeah. Mm. Hey, so Ed, what's your experience in dealing with any say retired airline pilots who obviously at 65 mandatory retirement, still in good health, looking for something to do potentially, but sometimes we hear that they don't like the liability exposure. Do you ever run into that?
Yeah, I'll run into that. Also, they don't want to work for a living.
They're retired
because they've worked so hard before. Oh,
yeah. That when it's like, oh, I want you here 5 days a week from 7 to 7. They're like, in a small airplane, no.
Well, maybe you need a whole cadre of them, and you can divvy up the work.
Right.
You know, okay, you work on Wednesday. You can work on Thursday. But actually, you know, I really have not had many of those types come looking for work.
Interesting.
Because I know a lot of my counterparts in the industry have tried to tap into that market, and I hear mm-hmm. the same thing when we talk. You know, yeah, I've got maybe one or two, but you know, they only want to do a couple days a week, and they don't want to do a full day.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't blame them.
You can hire them at Flight Training Professionals as like a Walmart greeter.
Well, there you go. Well, that's you what know? We got Keith for.
Good point. That's what explains why he's not here today. He's greeting everybody as they come. Hey, how you doing? Welcome. Oh, it's good stuff. All right. Well, look, we got more to cover, including a quick little tidbit about the next AOPA fly-in. That's next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Dennis, and also for a couple more minutes from AOPA, Tom Haynes. Now, there's a big fly-in, or the first fly-in of the year. You look forward to it. It may be kind of cold and icy right now where you are in whatever part of the country. However, just around the corner, it's May, the fly-in at headquarters in Frederick, Maryland, right?
You bet. May 10th and 11th, it's going to be nice and green and beautiful here by then.
Of course.
Our first one of the year. We got two others coming later in the year, but it's our 80th anniversary for AOPA on May 15th. So this is just a few days in advance of our actual anniversary, May 10, 11.
Cool.
And really interesting this time is we've got this group of World War II airplanes coming in, DC-3s, C-47s from the D-Day squadron, and some parachute jumpers are going to be on site both days doing jumps over Frederick and hopefully landing back at the airport.
And if not, we'll watch it on the national news.
Right.
But yes. Regardless, that'll be good PR.
And they'll be doing hopefully some rides. We're trying to arrange maybe even some trips down to the D.C. airspace for the C-47s to do some Arlington Cemetery flyovers.
Oh, that'd be cool.
As well.
So, wow.
Should be a really, really fun event. Plus, we've got a invitational STOL competition, short takeoff and landing competition, will be happening Friday evening and Saturday around noon.
Mm.
So come on out and check that out.
When you win that Cub, Greg, right? Then we can go.
There you go.
We would win it. Because that's what those are designed for.
Yeah.
I mean, does the wind have to be going pretty good to really make an impressive outing for something like that?
Well, you know, everybody shares in it, right? So if you got a good, strong headwind, yeah, it definitely helps you land shorter. Mm-hmm. But everybody benefits from that. And if you don't have any wind, then kind of everybody else is in the same boat, too.
Right.
So it's a matter of, you know, just for that particular competition, who can beat whom?
Right. Whoever has the skills. I bet I could do good at this. I wouldn't necessarily land the plane where you could, you know, use it again. But I bet I could get it down quick, you know.
On the spot.
I'm just saying. I have that much faith in my skills exactly. Where I am in my flight training. All right. Well, good luck, Tom. Thanks for checking in AOPA.org.
Absolutely.
is the website, and you check them out on AOPA Live. They're online as well. We got more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Actually, we're going to take off soon, so we're going to need you to turn off your phone.
I'm actually not done talking, and two more.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Ed and Dennis, who happened to be jamming into that tune. Was that the song that you were asking me about earlier in the week there, Dennis?
That's the one. My daughter had that playing the other day and said, you know, Greg needs to have that on Just Plain Radio.
Yeah. I was like, dude, we've been playing that in rotation for years now.
Yeah, we have.
We just haven't heard it in a while.
I'm totally up to speed with what the kids are into, as you can tell. See, that's why, you know, I'm way ahead of the... I'm hip to their jive.
Whatever.
Yeah. So, anyway, you know, there has been some good news since last week's show. They wrapped up this... government shut down, at least temporarily. But before that happened, you know, we didn't talk about this last week, but we should have. You would send pizza up to your local tower to thank tower operators that were working without pay or working without getting a paycheck there for a few weeks or what?
Well, we figured it was the least we could do. These controllers are always there for us as pilots. You know, every time we need assistance in the air or on the ground, you know, they're always there. That's their job. But,
right.
You know, we don't really get a chance to thank them for that in the normal course of our, you know, our aviation adventures, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now here's a time, you know, where I can honestly say that those guys are in need. You know, they're working for free. They're not getting a paycheck. They don't know, you know, really where their next meal's coming from. So at least I took care of one of those.
Well, that is very nice. Yeah. And they were pretty thankful for it, I guess, right?
They were, and it was great because, you know, I took my kids and we went up there. We got a tower tour and got to, you know, eat pizza with the controllers and watch what they do and ask questions. And, you know, it was just a great opportunity for them to, you know, to meet the, you know, the pilots and for us to see the controllers. And, you know, they're people too. And, you know, we need to support them and take care of them. And so
they are people too.
Pizza. Oh, yeah. You know, they are a couple pizzas.
They're not normal people, but they're people too.
Yes.
Well, but, you know, the reason I said that is, you know, we just think of the controllers as a voice on the other side of that headset. And, you know, it's nice to see them in person and, you know, shake hands with them and thank them for everything they do and bring them some pizzas up.
Well, that's
we did the same thing. Didn't get as warm of a reception, but
really?
No, I mean, they were very grateful. They're like, oh, you don't have to do that. That's so nice. And, mm-hmm. you know, when I talked to them on the phone and then when I took we did Jimmy John Subs, big old platter of it.
Yum.
You know, they just came down the elevator, opened the door, said thank you. We chatted for a couple minutes and then, you know, up they go. You know, it's like, I didn't go up and hang out with them like you guys did.
Well, next time you're flying around the pattern and you need a, you know, special approach. Hey, how was that Jimmy John's last week? You guys enjoying that? By the way, can you give me a more direct approach?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to pull that card.
Absolutely.
No. But seriously, they what I was really happy with is our tower, Orlando Executive, were extremely professional throughout the shutdown.
Yeah.
Orlando Approach Control, on the other hand, they did the best they can with what they had, but they had a lot of controllers when the first paycheck didn't show up, start calling in sick, and so we weren't able to get instrument approaches for training purposes, and you know they felt bad about it. I know the controllers that I know, I talked to them, they did, and I said, yeah, we understand, but yeah, the guys at Orlando Executive Tower never missed a beat. They kept things running, never brought it up on the radio.
Well, just, good on them.
Yeah, just, you know, got the job done.
Yeah.
So that's why we took sandwiches over. You know, we don't need a thank you. We don't need to go up in the in tower. And that I just, you know, but like I say, we just wanted them to let them know that we noticed that they conducted themselves with a very
professional. Well, I'm sure they appreciate the feedback in that regard. You know, as far as the... you know, the sick out stuff that was happening there towards the end of this stuff. I mean, I don't know. That kind of blows. I mean, you can't blame people. That was tough
for him to deal with. That's like I say, they told me that's what was going on, I'm like, hey, I get it.
Yeah. But on the other side of the coin, it's part of their gig, too. So it's like, you know, you can look at it a couple different ways, but I'm sure, as anybody would, appreciate, you know, the pat on the back, like, hey, we know you're going through a tough time. Appreciate you hanging in there and dealing with this nonsense. Hopefully it won't repeat itself here in a couple weeks, and time will tell. But, I do believe, you know, the fact that who was the official that came out on the news there, right, like the Friday before the shutdown stopped? Or was it on Friday? I think it was that day. But they were starting to hit all the news channels like, hey, look, we're going to have some problems in tower and at the towers and air traffic control and stuff. We're having, you know, sick out things and dealing with that, and less people and their stretch is going to be a problem. And then all of a sudden, the politicians figured out a way to at least solve this for a short period of time.
Yeah.
They were actually implementing ground stops in New York because they'd hit the limit of what they could safely move through the airspace there. Yeah. And so that was starting to cause a cascade throughout the entire nation traffic control system.
Yeah, they shut down, I think it was LaGuardia, wasn't it? Yep. Yeah, for an hour. And ironically, that was all it took to get them to wake up and say, okay, we'll open up the government after all. So who knows? You know, how this plays out in the future, but hopefully we don't have to keep going through that nonsense. No one does want to see that. But a couple other things in the news. I don't know. Let's talk about the weather, because we were talking about that earlier, just being cold. But there's actually some good things about the weather, not necessarily the temperature, but air quality or visibility. Is that what this article is about, Dennis?
Yeah, there was an article recently in Air and Space Magazine basically looking over some research that was being done by a scientist out of North Carolina State University. He went through 45 years of weather information from 30 of the busiest airports in the United States. And what he was looking for is how many hours a day were instrument conditions, basically, you know, low clouds, fog, where you're required to shoot an instrument approach. And they were looking at that because you can only get so many airplanes an hour in when you have to have them all fly a full procedure. And it's, you know, somewhere around half as many as you could in good weather. And so they were looking at all of these, this historical data, and they had found from between 1973 and 2017, as much as a 60% reduction in the amount of instrument days. At San Francisco, back in 1973, it was about 1,500 days or 1,500 hours out of the year were solid IFR. And in 2017, it was down to 500 hours.
Interesting.
So they're attributing a lot of that to the clean indoor, you know, the clean air acts and things that were done. There's less pollution in the air, which is less condensation nuclei or whatever for fog and mist to form.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's making a difference. It's taken 30 years for us to realize it, but it is starting to help.
Well, is that mostly concentrated in like the valley there in California where smog and stuff is an issue or what?
Actually, it was across the country.
Across the board, huh?
Of those 30 airports, 28 of them all had similar reductions in the amount of hours. So it was very consistent across the entire nation. Hmm. So it wasn't just coastal areas that were seeing less of it. It was mountain. It was in the middle of the, you know, Phoenix, Arizona, or Dallas, Texas, even Minneapolis were all showing similar reductions in the amount of instrument time.
What do you think, Ed? You're kind of old. You've been around a long time.
Yeah.
Have you seen that trend?
I mean, I'm in Florida, we don't have IFR in Florida much.
Right.
But, you know, if I was up in the Midwest, where I spent most of my youth in aviation, when that was the case, I might see a difference. I've always noticed that Florida has got much clearer skies and less IFR than
we get those ocean Illinois breezes that are helping us in that regard.
Well, in some ways, that should make it a little bit worse. But
why?
All the moisture that it brings in.
Well, that would be weather. That wouldn't necessarily be viz, would it?
It would result in viz issues. But
okay.
But yeah, in Florida, and like I say, growing up in the Midwest, we would have days that were 4 miles due to haze. you would climb up to 8,000 feet, look down, and you really could barely see the ground.
Hmm.
And it was legally VFR.
Interesting. Okay. But that haze would be pollution.
Well, dust off of the crops.
Okay.
Okay. You know, that back then we plowed our fields,
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot of erosion.
Sure.
Well, over, you know, that was the 70s and in the 80s, farmers started to do conservation till. Mm-hmm. And today it's more extreme than when I was there. You know, that they're doing less and less, which means less and less dirt particles in the air. When I'm up there, yeah, the air seems cleaner there, but it's also probably due to what Dennis is talking about within industries as well.
Sure. A little combination.
It's all of the above is making it to where it is clear. Now, I haven't flown up there a lot in the summer to know if they get those days anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I've been in Florida the last 20 plus years.
If the guys that study it say it's getting better, that's a good thing. I think we should just take it.
I think so.
Another reason to go fly.
Yep.
Yeah. I need another excuse other than the constant ball busting I get from Ed, Keith, and Dennis.
And my kids.
Yes, true. More coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium. Instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You know that maneuver where you fly straight up until you stall and then pull out of the dive?
Uh-huh.
Can we do that today?
Nope.
Don't decide now. We'll talk when we're up.
Sky Pilot.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me. I'm kind of like a sky pilot in training perpetually. We'll go with that. Got Med, also Dennis, with us as well. All right, so a couple little tidbits. Dennis came across a little news nugget about Catalina Island, which I'm planning to go back out there possibly early May. And maybe I'll get to see this new upgraded airport landing strip that they're working on it right now. Is that right, Dennis?
Yeah, apparently over 100 Marines and Navy sailors have been working 6 days a week out at Catalina Island, putting in concrete to replace the old asphalt runway that was deteriorating, and they were at a risk of closing that airport to the public because the runway is in such bad shape.
Wow.
Yeah. But the airport is actually owned by the Catalina Island Conservancy.
Right.
And they just received a $1.5 million donation from Ace Clearwater Enterprises, which is out of Torrance, California. They do aerospace and power generation manufacturing. Hmm. And so they have donated that to make sure that the project's successful, and they're also getting their name on the airport now.
So they figured out a way
naming rights.
Name the airport in Catalina. So it'll be called what? Or do we know?
It's going to be the Clearwater. What is it? I'm trying
Clearwater.
To find
you mean Catalina?
Catalina Clear Ace Clearwater Airfield.
Okay, which that'll be confusing if it's
at the Conservancy Airport in the sky. Yep.
Okay, they'll work it out. Might be a little.
I'm sure it'll come up with a catchy acronym or something for it later.
Maybe. But you know, for you know, $1.5 million, they'll probably deal with the wordiness and tolerate it. But you know,
you can have a sign that's big enough to read from the pattern that way.
Maybe. Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they do. I mean, it sounds like, you know, the main thing they're working on is just the runway itself. But I would imagine they might be setting up some, you know, a building next to it or something and upgrading that too, I would assume. Or and it can't be that big of an airport, is it?
Well, it's a 3,000-foot runway, so, you know, you can get, you know, decent-sized twin-engine airplanes. They haul cargo in there. That's one of the ways that they get their supplies to that island. So,
right.
You know, get a good runway in there, people make other investments. So,
well, true. Well, like I said, I might be heading over there early May, so maybe I'll be able to work that out. We will see. All right. No Just Plain Radio show would be complete without a little bit of drone news.
Oh, here's my drone.
Yeah. You know, we had, you know, the issue last week. We talked a little bit about that drone that was seen at Newark, and basically the pilot saw it, and that kind of shut down traffic for a while, created havoc for, half an hour, an hour or so, where they diverted all the aircraft away.
Mm-hmm.
Did they find out who did this, or, you know, what was they, you know, it's funny, these stories of these incursions show up in the news, even in the mainstream media, like Newark Airport closed down for an hour today because pilot spots drone. Then you never hear why, you know, what they were doing. Like if it was a real estate person doing a survey of a property nearby, didn't understand that you weren't allowed to fly those things at 3,500 feet.
Yeah. Well, you know, that very well could be.
Yeah. I mean, I think they know who did it. I think they find them, and then they, you know, take them to a secret location and, you know.
No, you mean Gitmo?
Yeah, one of those. And they get worked over pretty good, but you never hear from them again. But we don't hear. It's funny how I thought for sure by now we'd hear what happened to the person, or maybe they don't even say if they caught him or not.
Yeah.
You think? But you didn't hear anything.
I didn't hear anything. No.
Yeah, Dennis, you heard squat, right?
I actually heard that they may have misidentified the drone. That there was reports that it was actually a helicopter operated by the police department.
What, a really small one?
No, we're talking, you know, like a Eurocopter or something like that. You know, good sized, you know, 4+ passenger helicopter that had been hovering, you know, monitoring something, and they saw it and just assumed that it was a drone.
Well, but wait a minute. But air traffic control would know where a police helicopter was, wouldn't it?
Not necessarily.
Really? If they were doing undercover stuff?
If they're not having to talk to, you know, if they weren't talking to a controller, they were just flying VFR and monitoring the situation and avoiding the towered airspace, there's no need to be talking to a controller.
Google it. Maybe somebody can enlighten us. But it's a pattern that I've seen. When we hear about these incursions, we don't usually hear what happened, like who was flying the drone. Or in the helicopter, this case.
Or maybe it even wasn't a drone.
Or maybe it was one of those alien things.
Well, here's the thing. I know that the Orange County Sheriff down here, if they spot one, they try to track them down.
Right.
And, of course, even if it's at night, they got their night vision goggles on, and they'll be able to see the guy with the remote. And they have chased them down.
Well, I know they chased them down, but wouldn't they make them an example and put them on TV and say, hey, don't be this guy? And, of course, it's usually some 13-year-old kid, you know, covered in pimples probably, but I'm just, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. You'd think they'd be, you know, saying, look, you know, here's an example of what you're not supposed to do. Don't be this person. He was an idiot, and they throw the book at him and that kind of thing. You know what I mean? We're not seeing that.
Because nothing bad has happened.
Yet.
Exactly.
Well, okay. All right. And but drones aren't all bad. There was an interesting little story. Where was this? In Uganda or someplace in South Africa?
Rwanda.
Rwanda. Okay. And they're using the drone to deliver what?
To deliver blood.
Deliver
so,
blood.
You know, here in the United States, we've got a pretty good network that we can, you know, deliver blood products to the hospitals, you know, in a timely manner using the ground transportation, you know, cars, right, vans, whatever.
Yeah.
But in Rwanda, you know, you've got a third world underdeveloped country that if you're trying, you know, they don't have the luxury of being able to collect blood from donors at multiple sites throughout the country and keeping it local. So they have to. They're centrally processing the blood, collecting it and getting it and distributing it out to these hospitals.
Well, there you go.
And what they came up with was a drone solution.
That sounds like a much better use of drones than delivering pizzas. Maybe
anywhere
it's just
in the country in 50 minutes or less.
Okay. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.